Hey everyone, so we are going to talk all about the basics again tonight. This is Q&A. This month of January is all focused on our basics. And so we wanted to do two calls to make sure that not only did you guys understand the basics and got to ask all the questions you have about basics, but one of the other things I wanted to do was just be, I think the more we talk about them, the more we reinforce in your brain how important they are. If I was going to identify a thought that's a total like flowjacker for you guys when it comes to your basics, it's that they're not going to be enough. And Mary McGee the other night was talking about them, and she said, am I just having a thought problem because I just don't think they're going to be enough? I'm doing them and not getting results. And I said, well, tell me about how you're executing your basics. And she said, well, I'm making my plan. I'm drinking my water. Like, I've been doing it for a couple months, and they're just, I'm not really losing any weight. And I said, so you're following them 100% and you're not losing weight? She said, well, pretty much, but she said she was grab-assing. I said, oh, so here's the thought problem we have. The basics aren't going to work for me. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to half-ass the basics and expect them to give me full-ass results. Guys, watch your thoughts all the time. I'm going to tell you, the more you guys watch your thoughts, the more you will find where you are twisting them around. The basics work, but they're like any diet, even a hard one. Like, here's the thing. It's like, I'm going to do these four basics that make complete sense. But wait a minute. No, they probably won't work for me. What I really need is something extremely hard and extremely restrictive that will for sure not let me do any grab ass in. That will for sure not trigger me to eat extra. That will for sure do the trick. No. The basics work when you work them, and you have to work them as I have described them, which is, I'm going to review them real quick, and then Kathy's going to start giving me questions. In fact, let me get the questions up because I don't have them up. I got to find Slack. Hang on. Filters. Here we go. And if you're wondering why you couldn't find me fast, Kathy, it was because I was 2 minutes late. Spoonie came home and I got to talking to Spoonie. We had to cover a couple of details for the crab trees to be able to, for me to be gone for 5 days this week. And I was like, holy shit, I gotta go. So the thing about the basics are, one, you're going to drink water and you're going to go to sleep. Guys, do not fight me on this. This is one where I'm just like, don't bitch about it. Water is required. You're a delicate flower. This is the only time I'm ever going to say, you're a delicate flower. You need to water thyself. Do not expect that you're going to be some kind of weird unicorn that doesn't drink water and is able to lose weight. It's not going to happen. You cannot fight chemistry. As much as you want to, you can't. Same thing with sleep. Prioritize sleep. Don't allow yourself any excuses on sleep unless you have a newborn. Unless you have some kind of something that legit jacks your sleep. Don't sit there and tell me, well, I don't, you know, like if you're doing something, like let's say you are Facebooking, reading, talking to your husband, all of that, no, that doesn't get to count. A crying ass baby who needs to like nurse, that can count. But I want you to just be honest with yourself about your sleep, and are you making efforts? Don't even tell me like, well, I don't sleep good at night. I wake up and I can't go back to sleep. How many nights in a row, like when you've gotten past like 102, then we'll talk about it. Have you laid there bored as fuck? Like 3 hours being just bored. You don't grab your phone. You don't get up. You don't go eat. You don't do anything. You keep bringing your brain back. I promise you, your brain is habitual. If you get up in the middle of the night and you start entertaining it, don't be upset that you've trained your brain to get a reward every time it wakes up in the middle of the night. Then the other big two, the two big basics are, you have to write it down daily, guys. Writing your food down each morning allows you so many freedoms. The first freedom is you don't have to freaking think about it the rest of the day. You have decided ahead of time what you're going to eat. This allows you to, every time you want to think about it, the rest of the day, you say, no, we are following the plan. You get to stop thinking. You get to tell yourself, no, no thinking about that. We are following the plan. It allows you to start practicing the redirect rather than practicing thinking about your food all a day with no good habits being built. I'd rather you think about food all day long and direct yourself to a pre-planned thing and work on being frustrated about eating your plan versus thinking about food all day long and wondering why you can't lose weight and why you don't make good choices in the moment because you have this feeling you'd like to be healthy. Like, we're going to move to the next level. We're going to write our food down. The other thing that writing it down does, it makes a strong connection in your brain that we're not just thinking about being healthy anymore. We're actually doing healthy now. So when we write, what we do is our brain is putting thought to paper. When your brain dumps something on paper, it literally thinks it's doing something with it. It up-levels the commitment. It up-levels the remembering. It up-levels a lot of things. So when you write it down, you've done all of those things for yourself. All right? And then part of the 24-hour plan is reviewing the freaking last 24 hours when you're done. As my husband was saying to me this morning, we were talking about this book he's listening to. Assessment is the nursery of your success. So I want you to think about, like, when you have like a baby and you put it in the nursery and you're putting it there so that it can rest and it can grow and it can like be swaddled and stuff. Your assessment, that's what it's doing to your success. When you come in and you assess and you put all of your thoughts and all the things that went right and all the things that went wrong that day and you learn from it and stuff, you're putting it in this like nursery area for it to grow, for it to go forward, for it to produce for you. So you need to make sure you're doing those assessments. The last part is your hunger scale. You're going to practice your hunger scale. You are going to pay very close attention. You're going to learn that often you have to eat undistracted in order to find it. You're going to figure out the environmental, the mental, the emotional, and the physical cues that cause you to overeat, that trigger those things. You're going to find the ones that cause you to not pay attention to when you're hungry and stuff. Through all of that writing and assessing and collecting data, you start constructing the lifestyle that's going to take you all the way to losing weight and keeping it off. You're creating the process of your end result. Because the thing I want all of you to think about when it comes to the basics is what I'm doing is I'm asking you to believe you're going to get there. And then we're going to use these four basics as a foundation to create what's going to work for you all the way to maintenance and beyond. So everything is about playing with it, looking at it, understanding it, tweaking it, noticing when it's not working and what are you going to do the next time. That's what the four basics allow. But the only way you get to where you start understanding, like, what processes work for you and what don't is when you're plugging them in. This is a very different type of dieting. A lot of you think, I just want you all to notice the one thing I didn't say about the four basics. Here are the four basics that you have to do perfectly. Like, here, you're going to eat 2 to 2. And from now on, you'll never struggle with that again. Oh, but I told you to stop when you're satisfied. I can't believe you didn't do that. That's not part of it. The basics are to give you the framework in order to find what's broken so we can work on fixing things. That's what the basics are about. They are the process. In fact, let me just pull this up. I just put this on a slide today. Let me see if I can find this. Habits and goals. I am getting the stuff ready for the... I don't think I have it. But anyway, I'll find it. It's... I cannot remember where I put this. Basically, though, the way I want you to think about the habits and your processes is processes allow us to see what systems we need to create. What other systems do we need to create? The processes, the four basics, allow you to see what's working and what's not, and allows you to start working on those things, maneuvering and tweaking and fixing. All right. Let's go to some questions. Where there be a group of people starting no sugar, no flour point. Kathy, make sure that only questions about the basics get asked, okay? I really want to focus on the basics. This is not just general Q&A. We have plenty of general Q&A calls, but I'll answer this one. I've completed recovery worksheets when I go off plan. I am starting to suspect that flour is really messing with my hunger scale, though. I could try no sugar, no flour on my own, but I would like the support of other people. We have a subgroup for that. So if you will just go to, I think it's the about, if you go to pnptribe.com, we pull up a, this is, I don't want to, let's see. Hang on, I got to get a different screen up. If you go to pnptribe.com, I'm going to tell you exactly where to go. Go to community and click on community. When you click on community, I want you to click on groups. When you click on groups, it's going to have a page called PNP Tribe Subgroups. There's one called Special Diets. If you go in there at any time, you can get the support of everyone who is doing no sugar, no flour, or other special diets. So you can just go straight there. We don't start it as a group anymore. What we do is we have the subgroups. You can go in there, and the people who are already doing it, you can start with them. I'm still struggling with the hunger scale. How long till I understand it? As long as it takes. Here's the thing, like, what, I want you to ask yourself, how is it going to help me to understand how long it takes? It's like asking a new, like when a new mother, this is, let me tell you my story. When Logan was born, he didn't sleep. Shock, right? Newborn, doesn't sleep. So I called every girlfriend I could and was like, when do babies sleep through the night? Because I really need to know when babies sleep through the night, because I just can't tolerate this baby not sleeping through the night. And of course, my friends are like, oh my gosh, it's like 8 weeks. After 8 weeks, it'll be fine. 8 weeks came, that shit didn't happen. And guess what? I thought my baby was broken. I thought my life was over. I thought I have the one child that will never sleep through the night ever again. It takes as long as it takes. The process, this is the way I want you to think about it. I will always be finding my hunger scale. I will always be eating deliberately. I will always be figuring it out. And the process of figuring it out, I'll lose a fuck ton of weight. The hunger scale doesn't have to be done perfectly, guys. Y'all, I want you to really understand the purpose of the hunger scale. The purpose of the hunger scale is to take you from eating unconsciously and like just getting it down, cleaning that plate, doing the things, to eating very consciously and paying attention and making choices that are aligned with losing weight. That's the purpose of the hunger scale. That's why so many people can blow the hunger scale sometimes, or maybe even eat when they're not hungry, and they're realizing it and they're tweaking it and they're still losing weight because they're eating so consciously. They're constant. They're like all the time making small shifts and changes that get them closer to where they want to go. So like, how long before you understand it is not the question you want to be asking yourself. Here's the best question. How long am I willing to keep practicing to lose all of my weight? The answer should be forever. Just saying. If you're not, like, they'd be like saying, like, here you go. You can lose 100 pounds guaranteed, but it's going to take like 18 months to figure out your hunger scale. Would you trade 18 months to lose 100 pounds? Or you're like, oh, well, I thought I would nail that in like 8 weeks. No, I don't want to do that. So I'll just keep my 100 pounds. That's the, like, the mindset that we need to shift. This is a question of how long are you willing to keep practicing in order to lose your weight? If the answer is always, you will lose your weight. If the answer is like, well, I don't know, just a little bit. Because when you decide that you're going to keep practicing forever, and it's like, I know this will never end. I will always just be eating consciously. It gets easier as you go along. It starts becoming habit. You notice when you're not doing it and you start getting conscious again. You start really making significant changes in your life. You start noticing that you are, when you're in it, there's no pressure anymore. You start noticing that your mistakes, they don't count anymore. Like, I'm not going to sit here and shame myself over that because I'm going to be doing this for a long time. Each one of these mistakes is my proof that I'm still doing it. Each mistake is it's a part of the process that tells me there's still something missing in my process that's not working for me yet. So I still have work to do. That's all it means. It doesn't mean the y'all's biggest problem is when you blow the hunger scale, you make it mean you can't lose weight. When you blow the hunger scale, it just means you weren't paying attention to something and you should probably start paying attention to that. That's like all it means. Period. It doesn't mean that you'll never get it. It doesn't mean that you're hopeless. It doesn't mean you're stupid. It doesn't mean that somehow everybody around me is getting the hunger scale but me. It doesn't mean any of those things. That's where your thoughts are going to want to go to. All it means is, this goes back to what I was saying. I got to find that. It's going to drive me crazy until I find this. I wrote it down only twice now, so I should be able to find it. Processes, they're created to put you in discomfort and to uncover what's not working. So the hunger scale's job is to make you uncomfortable. It's to make you aware of what you're eating. It's to make you notice when you're eating more than you're supposed to. It's to make you notice when you're eating before you're hungry and stuff. It's supposed to drive that discomfort so that you can figure out, oh, this is something I need to work on. There's still things I need to work here in order to get to my goal. That's all it means. Am I harming my progress by eating dinner at 10 p.m.? 5 days a week, I leave straight from work to my activity and I don't get home until 9:30. Nope. As long as you're hungry, the only way you're going to harm your progress, guys, there's two ways to harm your progress. Eat when you're not hungry. Like, just eat because. So that's always emotional eating. Or quit. That's the only way you can, like, harm your progress. Time of day doesn't matter. None of that shit matters. Ultimately, it always comes down to, are you going to stick with it or are you going to quit? Are you hungry right now or not? If the answer is no, get out of the kitchen, period. If I'm sick and eat some cottage cheese for dinner instead of a planned meal, do I consider this as an eating off plan? I would, and here's why. Because what I would rather do is I would like to track that so I could see, like, oh, when I'm sick, I still make better leveled up choices. I didn't just, like, throw it all away. Like, I would want to track that shit. And the point of tracking those things, guys, is off plan, on plan eats, is so that you get used to seeing off plan eats and not fucking freaking out about it. And you start getting to the, like, all right, so what did this off-plan eat mean? Oh, I was sick. That's really not a habit. So it's okay to just, like, let's just, like, that one's fine. Like, I didn't get overweight because I got sick so much and ate cottage cheese. Now, the biggest thing that I want you, the reason why I have you track every single thing as an off-plan eat, it would be the same if I had you weigh every day. I want you to get to where everything is just data and math so that you're seeing the things that are going to help you. You're not seeing them as they're either against you or they're for you. They're just things that are going to help you. Can you go over the TDL? I have listened to the module 2 times and done the workbook, but still feel a little confused. The TDL is just a thought download. All it is where you write what's in your brain. So I want you to think about, like, your brain is like a house, right? When we do a thought download, all we're doing is we're taking all the jumbled up junk that's laying on the counters, the clothes that are in the floor, and all this other kind of stuff. We're picking it all up and we're putting it on the paper so that it cleans out our brain as to where we're at. If you're not doing that regularly, then your house junks up. So the thought download, what it does is it cleans up the mess that's going on in there. So sometimes what I do is, like, I do... I did all my planning today on my couch this morning. I wanted to have coffee on my couch. I haven't been at my house for days, and I just was like, I just want to sit on my couch and do my planning. But Logan, are you downstairs? No, he can't hear me. He has his earbuds in. Sometimes when I do a thought download, it's like legit shit that's going on. Like, I just need to write about, like, today I was feeling overwhelmed. Because I have the camp coming up, so I had a lot of thoughts about, oh, I got so much to do, right? And I was feeling, I was having some drama around moving, of all things. I was seeing some people at the house today. We have to have a little bit of work done on our new house, and I've never had to do this. And I was like, I don't know if I'm the best one to make decisions. And, like, I was coming up with all this stuff. So I did thought downloads today around being overwhelmed. and like confused. Because I'm rarely overwhelmed and confused. And when I'm there, it's a little unnerving. And so I wanted to do some stuff on that. And so I did thought downloads to just see what was overwhelming me and see what was confusing me. That's what I wanted to focus on. And so when I saw it, I was able to like just be like, okay, this is just what I'm thinking. It's not real. So the thought download is just where you're just going to write shit. There's no right or wrong. Sometimes when I do a thought download, I feel great. So I'm just like, here's all the ways that yesterday went amazing. Like, I'm so proud of myself because I did these things. Or I'll write like, my goals for 2000. I write down my goals every single day. Like, if you go through my thought downloads, you'll see every single goal that I'm trying to achieve is written down every single day on my thought download sheets. I always end it with that, or I start it with it. Some days when I'm like feeling really good, I start with them. And then I ask myself like, you know, things like, so how do you feel about your goals today? And then I'll write about it. Or sometimes I will do them last to end on a high note and to end focused. But basically, guys, you can start with anything. Inside your P&P journals, which they're starting to ship. I think they were starting to ship today, and then they're going to finish up shipping tomorrow. Inside your P&P journals, there's a journal prompt page. Just pick one. There's no right or wrong. I want you guys focused on writing each day. And then when you get to where you write every single day, you start priming the pump to be able to write about anything you want. So it can be about your kids. It can be about your food. It can be about anything you want. I think if your primary focus right now is weight loss, I would highly encourage you guys. One really good question to start with is, today I feel about my weight loss blank, whatever you're feeling, and then just why. Like, I feel excited, I feel worried, I feel whatever. Just whatever it is you're feeling. Or today I'm thinking blank about my weight loss. Just getting in touch with your like self on how each day, how you're thinking about it is really good. And I will tell you, when you are doing thought downloads, guys, we have those models at the bottom. Very often, you don't even have to do models, and you will feel some relief from some painful thoughts just by writing. I don't want you guys getting consumed with, I'm doing models right or wrong and all this other stuff. I love the model. I think the model is amazing. You see me teach it all the time. But what I want you to understand is that the thought download itself and just writing increases your awareness of where you're at so much that very often you solve your problems and you feel better just writing. Can unsweetened tea count as water? Not all, but a glass or two? Mm-hmm. That's fine. Is it okay to change the weekly plan if I want to eat my leftovers from a different meal instead of what I originally planned? Yep, it's fine with me. Guys, a lot of these questions, that's fine. It's not like there's like some of that stuff, there's no right or wrong. Here's how you know if it's okay. Is this creating a habit that I want to keep? Is this something my future self would do? The person who's lost all her weight, does she do these things? Another thing is like, if you're losing weight, it's working. If you're not losing weight, then you know you might not need to switch your plan around so much. But there's no black and white. This is more about you guys figuring out how to start making decisions on your own about your food that empowers you. Because here's the deal. You're not going to be in P&P for the rest of your life. I love to have you, but my goal is not to keep you around for 30 years. My goal is that if you're here, it's because you love us, not because you can't eat without us. That's what Weight Watchers does. That's what the other plans do. They set you up to where you need them forever. My goal is to teach you to be so freaking smart about all this stuff that you're just like, I got this. I know my future self would say yes to this. Like, she is sitting there right now in size 8 jeans saying, of course, have healthy leftovers. We do it all the time. That's a great switch. You should feel great about it. Because when that happens, guys, then if you're staying, I know it's because you just love it. I never want anybody feeling like they can't eat without us. That's why I don't teach you a lot of like, you can only do this, you can only do that. The hunger scale has definitely been an elusive little bugger for me. So far, I haven't been able to tell when I'm really hungry unless I start feeling bad, nauseous. Very odd, but I'm trying to work with it. I would just keep going with that, and I would get to where what I would do on this one is make sure that you are tracking. Like, I would spend like 3 days, seriously, every 30 minutes doing a check-in on any physical symptoms you notice changing before you get to nausea. You shouldn't be getting to nausea. The only other thing that I could say, I don't know how, sometimes when this is happening, you might want to start leveling up the quality of food you're eating a little bit. If you're still relying on a lot of like processed foods and the food you've been eating and that kind of stuff, if you start interjecting some healthier foods into the mix, you might notice that nausea and stuff goes away some. And you might notice like other symptoms, like better, more earlier symptoms and stuff. I'm not sure my negative two is your negative two. Well, it for sure won't. I don't want you to be sure. Like here's the one thing we do know. It ain't mine. Can you define this any differently to help me get it? No. No, I cannot. Here's the negative two. Get out a piece of paper every single day. Write down your physical symptoms. Guys, in the beginning, it's work. It is not, I'm not going to be able to be like, here's the working definition for all 3,200 of you individually. That'd be like saying, hey, can you show me your fingerprint so I can see if my fingerprint's the same? Because if it's not, I probably got a problem over here. Everybody's stuff is different. So what I would do is I would ask in the tribe, what are y'all's hunger signals? And I would write down a bunch of them so that you're very aware of all the different types of hunger cues that come up. And then you need to do exactly like I did with the nausea girl. What I would do is start listening every 30 minutes and noticing what's going on. Like, am I feeling these things? Now, what I would also say is that when you hit a negative two and you eat too satisfied, guys, I want you to think, when I start getting hungry and I eat and I stop when I'm satisfied, it's probably going to carry me a good 3 to 4 hours before I actually get physically hungry again. Not emotionally. And I'm not talking about I get an urge for a cookie and shit like that. Like actual legit physical hunger. If it's not, then what I would do is I would re-examine that negative two. Make sure you're actually getting there. You may be either going a little longer or maybe you're not eating enough, that kind of thing. But here's the thing. I would just think about not being so concerned that yours is wrong. If you're losing weight, you got it dialed. And you won't need to change it until you're not losing weight again. So look at your results each week. Now, here's the other thing, guys. If you know for sure you're not waiting to a negative two and you're like, well, I didn't lose weight this week, so I must be having a problem with my negative two, but you're still grab-assing food and eating off plan and stuff, the problem isn't your negative two. The problem is grab-assing and stuff. I want you guys to first focus on what's really broken. Get your twos dialed in pretty good. Because like I said, the people that like are figuring out their twos, but they're having like some slight overeats because they're not really sure what a negative of the satisfied is. And the people who maybe are pre-eating a little early because they're not really sure where their negative two is at, they're going to lose weight if they're always eating on their plan and they're not grab-assing food. If they're doing it like not having exceptions and just like, oh, somebody invited me out, you got to clean that shit up first. Get the obvious, like Captain Obvious stuff out of the way. Then you can focus more on the nuances. I hope that helped. Because like my negative two, literally, like I don't have a growling stomach, but I usually get really tired and I also feel really empty. But it's like I have to be like starving to hit stomach growls. Like I could go 10 hours and then my stomach will growl. So I don't wait on a stomach growl. What I do is I wait for myself to like notice that my energy's lacking and I'm thinking about food and I'm starting to feel real empty. I notice that it's hard for me to even concentrate. That's when I know I'm at my negative two and it's just time to eat something. You said the only way to harm your progress is to eat when you are not hungry. What about the drinking devil? Well, that's eating when you're not hungry. I lump booze in there with that because that's not needed. That should be planned. So that's drinking when you're not thirsty or not hungry. Like, seriously, your drinks, guys, have to be planned. And there are exceptions. You can put them on your protocol. If you want to be like the kind of person who's like, I'm starting with one glass of wine every single night, that's fine. But you don't get two. You get one. And then you watch your results. And then you will know if you can include wine each night or not. I'm trying to do the drinking thing too, but it's not working so well. I am planning and I am following, even not eating at night, but instead I am having some wine. This is by far the hardest part of my diet. I'm going to have to give it up completely. No, you do not have to give it up completely. You have to learn how to follow your plan. Like, this is what always amazes me. I'm not following my plan, so should I just give up all this stuff? It's like, no, you should learn to follow your plan. You should sit through the discomfort of following your plan. You should sit there and know that tonight you're going to have one glass of wine and you're for fuck sure going to want another one. So you don't need to like plan for it to be hard. You need to plan for how you're going to think when that happens. Guys, one of the things that I want to say is that a lot of you are doing this. In fact, I just was listening to a call a while ago about this. I was listening to some stuff about binge eating. And she has this amazing term. It's called delusional negotiation. You want to start avoiding your delusional negotiations. And all that means is that a lot of you make a really good 24-hour plan, but you don't plan how you're going to think when the delusional negotiations begin. All of you who do it know exactly what I'm talking about. A little bit won't hurt. I can do this tomorrow. Oh my gosh, I lost 2 pounds this week. Tonight, I'm going to have. We have delusional negotiation everywhere. When it comes to wine, like, you need to watch yourself. It's like, I'm willing to give up food to drink. It's like, no, you're going to eat because your body deserves to eat. If you want to have a glass of wine, you're going to learn how to have a glass of wine, and you're going to learn how that is enough. And that is going to take a lot of discomfort. Because here's the thing. Do you want to learn how to have a glass of wine, or do you want to say, I'm the kind of person who just can't drink wine? I either have to drink all the wine or none of the wine. Or would you like to be the kind of person who could just have a regular relationship with wine just like food? I don't have to cut foods out. What I can do, though, is learn how to lessen the desire to overeat them or overdrink them and just have them and it not be crazy train when they're around. That's the result I want for you guys. The only people that I want not drinking are the ones that have like serious health problems because they drink. Like, my mom can't drink anymore. She has Barrett's esophagus, fries her esophagus out. Guess what? Made me quit drinking. It's a damn good reason to quit drinking. People who were doing no sugar, no flour because they literally can't tolerate sugar and flour or they feel like a cripple the next day. Yeah, that's a damn good reason to give up sugar and flour. Because you think food controls you is not a good reason. It's never a good reason. Let's work on those thoughts and learning how to feel control. Because just because you give up sugar and flour doesn't mean, like, here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to set yourself up to think cookies have power. So you give up sugar and flour. And then what happens is you go into the store and you get to where you don't want to be in the store because the food talks to you. Food doesn't speak. Your brain does all the talking. We have to get control over this guy. We don't cut off our leg because we have a pain in our leg. We learn to deal with the pain until the pain gets better. All right. So have a plan for delusional negotiations, guys. And once you guys start thinking about on your 24-hour plan, there's a beautiful set of questions down there that ask you about what are my obstacles? What's likely to happen? Here's what's likely to happen. I'm going to tell my ass tonight that I'm going to drink more than I planned. I'm going to tell my ass tonight, I can start tomorrow. I need those cookies my husband bought today. Like, whatever your delusional negotiation is, like, set a plan, be willing to stick to it. This is why I have you do a realistic one. Because you're going to have enough negotiating without it being some kind of crazy ass plan that like the you 75 pounds from now follows. You know what she did? She started off with smaller plans and she dealt with negotiating so that at 75 pounds, she's not still negotiating and wondering when it's going to get better. Because if you lose your weight and you're miserable, you will not keep losing your weight. You will give it up. I've changed my job and went from night shift to day. I'm having difficulty learning how to plan because I'm not hungry first thing in the morning. Any suggestions? I wouldn't eat in the morning. If you're not hungry in the morning, don't put morning food on there. Just make a plan for when you, like, just say, like, the first, like, I like to call it first meal. If you don't want to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner on your plan, just cross them out and do 1, 2, 3. First meal, second meal, third meal. And that's what I would do. And that's how I do it. Because, like, I don't eat breakfast most of the time. I only eat breakfast if I'm super hungry. So I just always put first meal is this, second meal is this, third meal is this. And then I either eat them all or I don't. I just don't think about it. I just go in order. Just keep it simple. Tips on sleeping more deeply. My best suggestion is, Kathy, if you'll put in my kit store, if you'll directly link to Sleep Remedy. That's my best tip, first of all. Let's just start with Sleep Remedy. It's really good. It's got magnesium, tryptophan, and melatonin in it. Small dose of melatonin, not the kind that will get you addicted. Magnesium is good for anxiety and for relaxing your nerve endings. It's also good for poop. So for those of you who don't poop very well, it's really good for that. Tryptophan, of course, is what's in turkey, which is also something that makes you sleepy. And melatonin will help you get deep, restful sleep. Does not leave you hungover in the morning. You feel pretty good when you wake up. I take 3 every night. That's what the bottle says to take, so that's what I take. And it keeps me asleep. And it also, if I have to go to the bathroom, it allows me to go back to sleep. I have to be high, wired, crazy time in order for it not to be working. Like, it rarely happens, but every now and then I'll have a lot of stress. And then when I am not able to sleep through the night, I know it's time to manage my stress, because if the Sleep Remedy isn't doing it, then Corinne's brain is a fucking wreck. So that's when I know I need to be doing some more thought downloads than I think I need. The other thing I would do is, so when it comes to habits and stuff, guys, and so sleep is a habit just like anything else, you need to teach your brain how to gear down. And one of the best ways to teach it to gear down is to have a really good routine at night. It doesn't have to be complicated, but it needs to be a series of things. Because, and here's, all of you will understand this. Who in here, hit the like button, has food triggers? Certain things trigger me to eat. It's either emotions, somebody says something, a time of day, anything like that. You have that is just habits that go off in your brain. It's like, oh, okay, so when somebody says something or somebody does something or whatever, I tend to eat. It is like, it is benign as that, but that's what happens, okay? Same thing happens with our sleep. You have to condition your brain, oh, we're winding down now. What a lot of you have is a habit of teaching your brain to stay alert until a certain point, and then you have a wind down, but it's very inefficient. It's too late. So one of the best ways to teach your brain how to get into restful sleep and whatnot is to rewind it a little bit. Like, have a very set pattern. Like, you brush your teeth, you wash your face. And when you wash your face, you burn a certain oil so that you're engaging more senses. You have a certain time, the phone goes off. Like, we don't look at our phone anymore after this certain time of day. You take your Sleep Remedy and then you get into bed. And after you do that a while, your brain is like, oh, now we're going to bed. So you line up a series of small triggers. It's like, when I do this, then I do that. And when I do that, then I do this. And you just kind of construct some natural things that you do. It could even be like, I wash the dishes at night. I turn off the kitchen light. And when the kitchen light is off, I know the kitchen's closed. And when the kitchen is closed, I brush my teeth. And when I brush my teeth, I change my clothes. And you start triggering this domino effect that we are done eating and we're moving into rest. So I would make sure that I would do all of that stuff. So then you want to get that done. That allows you to go to sleep. The biggest thing on sleeping through the night, guys, and it's the hardest for all of you, When you get woke up in the middle of the night, you have to not give in to the urge of entertaining yourself. You have to embrace boredom. That's where a lot of you are tripping up on sleep. You just want to sleep through the night. You were never designed to sleep all the way through the night. Our body is designed to go up and down through the sleep cycles. And when you're in the light sleep cycles, you're supposed to wake up a little bit. But what a lot of you have done is conditioned yourself that when you wake up during a light sleep cycle, that you seek entertainment versus seeking boredom so that you go back to sleep. The reason why we have those sleep cycles is because if you slept super deep back in the day, a tiger could come in and just eat your ass. We don't have tigers that are going to come and eat your ass. Now, I have Luau who's going to like make biscuits on my belly, but that's about the most danger I face every single night. So you want to make sure that what you are doing is that you set yourself up at night to be embracing boredom. That's when you're supposed to be bored. And this is when you get to practice being bored without needing entertainment. Think about it. If you do it in the middle of the night when you're waking up anyway, then when you're bored during the day, you won't be seeking food because you'll be used to being bored without needing to solve for bored. You just be like, yeah, I'm bored. I either am going to think about something like I do in the middle of the night, or I'm going to get busy with my work, or something else, or I'm just going to be bored, but I don't eat because I'm bored anymore. Just like I don't wake up in Facebook because I'm bored and I can't sleep. We all can sleep. You just have to really be diligent. Some of us have to just work harder at it. Some of us are not as talented as the next person at sleep. So you just have to work for it. Can you talk about the Overeat Recovery Worksheet? It's in the tribe. If you go to Toolkit, this is actually module 5, so it's not exactly the basics, but I'll talk about it. If you go to, so you're going to go to Toolkit, Worksheets, and then there'll be workbooks and worksheets for you guys. Just click on Recovery Worksheet. Tell me what you want to know about it is the main thing. My thing is you do them every single time you have an overeat, no matter what. I don't care if you blew your 2 because you cleaned your plate. I don't care if you ate 3 extra bites because you were Facebooking and you weren't paying attention. The recovery worksheet's job is to give you insight into what's happening so that you can decide what you want to do in the future. That's the recovery worksheet's job. It is not to shame you. It's not to do anything. It's to get you out of shame and get you into doing something about overeats. What most of you do is sit around and feel like shit about it and wonder why you keep getting shitty results. It's like most of you are eating because you feel bad. So when you overeat, don't sit around and feel bad about it. You're just increasing the odds of you doing more of that. If you're going to have an overeat, do not waste it. I had somebody ask me the other day, he's like, do you do a recovery worksheet for like every overeat or do you just do for some of them? I think they would get boring. I'm like, that's the freaking point. You want them to get boring. You want to see the same old mistake over and over and over again so that you get an ass full of doing recovery worksheets rather than sitting around just keeping on eating and wishing it would get better. Part of the thing about habits and breaking up the habit of overeating, because this is the thing, binging and overeating is a habit, a well-formed habit, that's all. If you think about it just like that, it's a lot easier to understand it can be broken. If you think you're broken, then we got to fix that first. Then we get to embrace it as a habit, and then we get to unbreak the habit. So here's the thing about the recovery worksheet. You are doing it so that you start making overeating painful for you. And I don't mean painful by beating yourself up. I mean painful that is it worth doing this overeat because I know I'm going to have to process it. I know I've got to do a worksheet on it. I've got to do this. There's this whole rigmarole that's involved in overeating. And that's the point. Your brain gets a pause and is like, are we sure? After the first few, it'll be like, okay, I'm going to do a worksheet. Oh, I learned so much. I'm so enlightened and blah, blah, blah. Then after you do it like 30 times about the same thing every night at 8 o'clock, at some point you get an ass full of yourself. And your brain is like, I hate doing recovery worksheets. could we maybe just not eat tonight? Like, let's just try and see if that's any better. Your brain throws a tantrum about the overeat worksheet versus throwing a tantrum about you not getting what you want in the moment. We want to switch the tantrum. This tantrum gets a better result. So that's the purpose of the overeating worksheet. It also shines a light on the part of your processes that are broken. So each time you do them, challenge yourself to think, all right, if I've done it 10 times and I just keep writing the same shit over and over again, I might be missing something. Let me write about it different today. I might be wrong. I may be taking a wild guess, but here's what I want to do. I want to figure out if there's just something I'm not thinking about. So if I can't write about this, what would I do? Sometimes just that right there will be like, shit, I didn't even know that was the problem, because you were convinced this other thing was the problem and it's just not working. So what you do is you want to make sure that you're like, oh, okay. If there was another explanation, it could be. And it's like, maybe that is the explanation. You're just heightening awareness all the time, guys. The more aware you are of what's going on, the more you give your brain an opportunity to figure it out. Here's what I want you guys to think. How sick and tired are you sitting around going, I just don't know why I can't lose weight. I don't understand why it's so hard for me. I don't understand why I keep doing this. That's called whining. Whining produces no result. So when you're stuck in that, do recovery worksheets and do this other stuff, because that gives you the why. Here's why you're overeating. It's because every day you come home at 4 o'clock and rather than doing something else, you go stand in the pantry and wonder why you're not getting a different result. On the way home, you're not thinking about what you're going to do. You're thinking about food. You're not giving yourself like, oh, okay, I forgot. We no longer sit and plan our overeats in the car on the way home. Like, there's like, when you do overeating worksheets, you got to like parcel out all of it and be like, oh shit. Like every day I'm sitting here thinking about how I'm going to break my plan. So before I can actually break the plan, I've got to break my habit of thinking about how I'm going to break my plan. I'm going to start there. Like, seriously, when the more of these worksheets you do, the more you start seeing all the different areas that you can attack the problems and re-engineer things and change things. Since starting PNP, I enjoy my meals I make. Well, good. What should I tell myself to stop eating when I cook a really good meal? I'm nervous that I may be pushing it to a +3. I would tell myself 3 less bites won't make this taste any worse. And 3 more bites don't make it taste better. It just means I'm overeating. That's what I would tell myself. Just because you overeat doesn't mean it tastes really good and that you enjoy it more. It just means you overate. And so just being really clear and honest with yourself about that and like telling yourself that in the moment, like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that 3 more bites really made it, didn't really make it any better. It just makes it an overeat. You might also ask yourself a question like, how can I savor every bite of this food I really enjoy and stop at my 2? It might make you slow down and just like think more intentionally when you eat too. I'm trying to figure out the hunger scale. I notice that I'm at a 2, but then about 15 minutes later, I feel about a 4. Do you think I'm just eating too fast? You could be. Try eating a little slower. Also, I don't know how much water you're drinking with your meals, but you might want to dial your water back just a tad. And you also could eat just a little bit less to see if that helps. But sometimes, guys, you're going to eat to a 2 and stop at a 2, and then you are going to feel the aftermath later. That's okay. Just like let it, you could also just, if you think you're at a 2 this week, if you're losing weight, it's fine. It's not a problem. It's only going to be a problem when you stop losing weight. And when you stop losing weight, then you'll just record this and just be like, okay, I probably need to start stopping a little short now. Just a little bit shorter, and that'll be fine. All right. Was there any other questions? I don't have any more from Kathy. Let's see. Yes, all of you. These recovery worksheets, guys, they're actually not until you get to module 4. So for all of you who are listening that are pacing yourself through the program, I don't want you to think that you're behind or that I'm hiding something from you or that that you are confused or lost. I don't want you thinking any of that stuff. We're only talking about the recovery worksheet because people asked about it, but it's actually in module 4. Tonight is really about modules 1 and 2. It's just the basics. It's all about like the 4 basics, the questions that come up around modules 1 and 2. We really hammer home the basics. Once we get out of modules 1 and 2, we start moving into more about thought work, thought work, thought work, thought work. It's all going to be about urges and thoughts and feelings and emotions and our future self. Why do we feel like shit sometimes? All that kind of stuff. So the first two modules are really about dialing in just here's the framework to work within so that when we get to all this thought work, you're set up because this stuff will help you have some balance and some stuff to work on so we can bring up all that drama for all those other things. What are some foods that help keep you full for a longer time? Natural foods, anything God made. Like seriously, the food that God made, guys, is always going to be the foods that are going to help keep you fuller longer. Like good healthy fats, good proteins, your good whole grains, your like potatoes, beans, vegetables, fruits, all those things are going to help you stay fuller longer. The reason why is your body has to work at digesting them. And when you eat real food, your tongue and your stomach release completely different enzymes that send signals to your body that you're not going to need food for a while because it's got so much stuff it has to break down. It is a completely different chemical process in your mouth and in your stomach than it is when you're eating like processed foods. I'm not demonizing processed foods, but if you actually want to feel fuller longer, the more natural foods you eat, the more like sustainability you're going to get. That's why, I mean, you guys like make fun of me all the time because I'm such a salad head, but why the hell do you think I eat such a big salad every day? Because it keeps me fuller longer. It keeps me, and I don't mean full like Buddha time. It takes a long time for me to get hungry again because my salad is jack loaded with all kinds of good stuff. And I mix my salads up, but I always have at least 4 to 5 different vegetables. And I don't care what kind of salad I have my sister-in-law make me. It's always got like kale. It's always usually got celery, onions. Let's see, this salad this week is what? It's got broccoli. It has beans. 2 kinds of beans, actually. I have garbanzo beans and kidney beans. I'm trying to think of what else. I have egg in it for good protein. I have bacon in it. And I will put blue cheese. I'm trying to think of what all is in that damn salad. There's radishes in it. There's actually 2 kinds of onions because I really like onions. I have red onion and green onions. And I can't remember if there's anything else in there or not. I don't know. Just a bunch. I just tell her to throw the kitchen truck in it. And then in the summer we put, I like better quality tomatoes. So in the summer we throw tomatoes in there too. So I always try to like put a bunch of different things in my salads. And I eat a big one like every damn day, full fat dressing. The first question will be like, what kind of dressing do you use? The fattier, the better. I didn't get overweight because I had a daily salad with full fat dressing problem. I had a McDonald's McFlurry problem ordering pizza when I was like too lazy to do something and then eating with my friends, eating when I was lonely and I loved raw cookie dough. That's why I was overweight. It was not because of my healthy ass salad problems. If I'd been doing that all my life, I would have been way better off. Speaking of, when we were in Dallas, I don't remember who told me this, but it was one of the brand new newbies from January. She said, God, when I started listening to your podcast, I thought, why does she yell at us so much? And I was like, what? And she said, well, you don't yell at us much in the tribe. I think you're nicer. It was hilarious. And I said, I yell to get attention. Like, I got to get y'all's attention. If I start yelling, y'all snap back. Like, Y'all are over here like, here I am driving. Oh, look at all the pretty scenery. Holy shit, she's yelling at me again. What is she saying? I got to keep y'all on your toes. If I get hungry again less than 4 hours after my last meal, does that mean I didn't reach my two? It could. Just track it. It could also mean you might just need to add a little fat to your meals. But, you know, somewhere within that 3 to 4 hour range is probably about where most people are going to get hungry. If you're not if you would like to make 4 hours, then I would just eat a little bit more each meal, but it's not much. Guys, seriously, 2 to 3 extra bites of a meal can like last you an extra hour. It's that little. That's why 2 to 3 less bites over a week. Like if you're going to eat, let's say 3 times a day and you add up that's like a pound of fat loss a week. I am not joking. Like a pound. We make losing weight seem so fucking complicated. I'm like, no, it's like 3 less bites a meal. It's like not having that one snack when you're not really hungry every day. Like, if you think about the smallest things we actually have to change, I always think about when I was losing weight, I was like, oh my God, I changed the most minute things. I was always changing the most small things. I was like, shit, I'm getting results. That's crazy. It's like, yeah, it's what we want. We want to be crazy. I have a big salad as my first meal about 1 to 2 p.m. and I'm hungry. No way did I want to leave a bite behind. Do I need to? You do not have to, guys. A lot of times you guys can be eating to a 2 and you can still clean your plate. The only reason why I always say that is because most people are over-serving themselves in the beginning. They're eating at the quantity that they've always ate, and that is not the quantity of satisfied. But if you're like, just because you're really hungry doesn't mean that you're going to have more room in your stomach. Your stomach's like this big, and you chew your food. So here you go. If you're eating a really huge salad because you're really hungry, you didn't have that much room in there. So just always remember, like, don't say, because I'm really hungry, I need to eat more. Just say, I'm really hungry, and I will stop at my 2, wherever that is. Let's see. All right, guys. Looks like that's all the questions. I don't see anything else from Kathy. Is there anything else, Kathy? Let me know. If not, I'm going to call it. So here's the thing I want to tell you. You guys, next week, so when you get your... So for everyone in Tribe, here's what we're doing next week. We call it kind of like catch-up week, but this is where we're going to dial in the hunger scale before we get into the future self. You are invited to listen to your no BS lessons, guys, all the way through if you want. You do not have to go at our pace. We're just kind of staging things for you. But what we're doing next week is a hunger scale challenge. So for the entire tribe, you're going to get this assignment. We do this like about once every 3 to 4 months. Every day will be a challenge for you. So you will get like today, I'll tell you a couple of them because the old tribe members are in here. Like one day we'll say, don't eat your first meal till 11. Or it will say, eat half your dinner. Like you're going to have like different little challenges each day and you'll get them ahead of time. And so you're going to put them on your plan. This is the challenge of the day so that you remember to do it. It is to test your hunger scale. This is one of the best ways for you to figure out true hunger and satisfaction. And it's also such a good way for you to see what you think about ahead of the hunger scale challenge. A lot of you will freak out at first, but I want you to notice if you do, like, oh my God, I don't want to do that. That's too soon for me. No, no, no. Here's what I want you to think. I'm open to trying it. The worst that happens is I do it and I don't do it perfectly, but I'm open to trying it. That's where I want your headspace. For those of you who freak out, some of you are going to be like, oh yeah, I've been waiting for the moment you're going to teach me the hunger scale. This is it. I'm going to be dialed. Here's what you'll learn next week. You will learn different things about your hunger scale and you'll be like, oh, now I kind of get it. And you'll understand how to start playing with it on your own. And that will be really powerful for you. So we'll talk about it each day in the Facebook group. And then next Monday, we have a treat. I'm just trying to make sure I remember all this correctly. When we do, it's the day after camp, too. Let me find my calendar. Sorry, I've got like 400 windows. Like, seriously, y'all look at this shit. Oh my gosh. Here's Cam. Big goals versus perfectionistic goals. Campers are in for a treat. I got some new materials. Next Monday is going to be Zoom member makeover lab. And what this means is we have three people who are going to get coached on the four basics. One person is struggling with them, like even just getting them going and doing them regularly. One person will be doing them and be struggling with dialing them in and the mindset around playing with it. And then one person will have it dialed in and wants to know how to level up. So we're calling it member makeover. So we're going to take the four basics and we're going to coach people at different parts of the journey for you guys. So I think it'll be super, super helpful. And you will get all the information about all these amazing things in your Sunday newsletter called the Massive Action Line. So if you're not getting our weekly newsletter called the Massive Action Line, you need to make sure that you can either post in here and we can tell you where to look for it. Here's the easiest way, guys. If you will go to your inbox, because if you're in this group, we have your email address. Go to your inbox, use the search tab of whatever mailbox you have, and search PNP Tribe, one word. And you should be able to find things called Massive Action Line, stuff like that. The other thing you can do is you can go to the website, pnptribe.com. If you scroll all the way to the bottom of the page, last week's Massive Action Line is sitting right there. You can click on it and you can read it. So everything will be there. Anything else technical that I want to cover? So we're going to do Hunger Scale Challenge next week. So for all of the newbies, you guys are not going to be asked to do week three yet. We're just going to say, like, review modules 1 and 2, because I want you guys to not be rushing through this shit. There's no hurry. There's no reason to hurry. I just want you applying all of the stuff. Just apply, apply, apply. That's it. And if you're out of town, guys, it's the perfect time to do the Hunger Scale Challenge. I personally do Hunger Scale Challenges every time I travel. It is the best time in the world to really test your signals and your cues. So don't give your, if you're traveling, please do not use that as some bullshit excuse. You still can do it. I've heard several times that you want people to do plans for 67 days before. No, not before asking assistance. This was a joke that got started and got taken seriously. The 67-day challenge is for people who kept swearing to me that following plans didn't work, or that they were, I'm doing it and I'm not getting any results. And then when I would ask them how many they'd done, and it was like 5. And I said, look, bitches, when you do 67 straight 24-hour plans with an assessment from my planner, and you answered every damn question on there, if you really do the work, if after 67 you haven't lost any weight, I'll personally get on the phone with your ass and coach you through it. Because if you send me 67 completed plans and assessments, I'll tell you what your damn problems are. But here's the thing. There's no way, I know this in my bones, there's no way that somebody could do 67 plans with 67 honest assessments in a row without fail or missing a beat and not lose weight. Most of the girls that started it thinking, I'm going to get that call, you know what they've done? Lost like 7 pounds. The magic is in freaking doing stuff. The magic isn't in sitting around wishing for it, wanting it, wondering why it's not working. That stuff doesn't work. Like, just give yourself the opportunity to succeed by doing, like, guys, for a lot of you, you have to practice doing things you don't want to do. And the first practice is making a food plan daily and making a realistic one when you don't think that will work. And drinking water when you don't like it and you think it's bullshit. The most important skill there's two really important skills to weight loss. Doing shit you don't want to do and not quitting when you don't do the shit you don't want to do. If you can just keep, like, I'm going to keep getting in there and doing stuff I don't want to do, and when I fuck up, I don't quit, I keep learning, you're going to lose weight. I feel paralyzed to get going with planning, but I'm going to keep showing up here. Courtney, right now, get off this live, get a piece of paper, and write down what you're going to eat the rest of the night. Like, seriously, the most painful part of you, like, I want you to think about this. I'm going to write some stuff down. That's not hard. You know what's hard? You sitting around worrying about it. Pulling the trigger. Wondering when it's going to happen for me. Wishing you could get over your fear. The only way to get over the fear is to write down on a piece of paper and be like, oh, wow, that wasn't near as bad as I thought it was going to be. And then tomorrow, the only thing you have to battle is your delusional negotiations. Right now, you're not even getting to that point. Right now, you're battling with yourself. And that's exhausting. Quit fighting with yourself. Started really tracking overeats, off-plan eats, 8 last week, 13-day streak of doing 24-hour plans. The data is so helpful. It is. I love the way, one of the things I was going to have, this happened to me too. I'm struggling. What happened to you? Guys, nothing's happening to you. I never want any of you to ever say this again. Something happened to me. Unless you were raped or stabbed, shit doesn't happen to you. Shit happens, and then there's thoughts. Literally. So much, you guys have got to quit giving the world so much credit. It doesn't get credit. If you're struggling or overwhelmed, it's not because the Facebook group is fast. It's because you think you can't do it. Then we just are not going to think that anymore. You know what we're going to think? I'm going to do these 4 basics, and it probably will feel hard because I sometimes think I can't do it. That's the only thing stopping me right now is one sentence that I keep thinking. It's a sentence. It is not a real obstacle. It's letters and vowels going through your head. And when you start really understanding that that's really what's stopping you, it's so much easier. I'm struggling writing it down. Love my planner, but all I do is look at it and read it. Why? But here, guys, tell me, why are you struggling with writing it down? Tell me why. It's always a thought. Because here it is. Like, I'm going to show y'all something amazing. Now, I didn't struggle at all to write my name down. Like, y'all are making writing, like, it literally, this is what we're really talking about, writing. Writing down some food. Like, if I wanted to write hamburger, fries, popcorn for a snack, I'm going to have a Snicker tonight, and I'm going to, like, have 3 glasses of wine. Can you write that down? Like, the struggle isn't the right. Y'all are telling yourselves a huge lie. The struggle is writing it down. It's so hard. No, you need to tell yourself that's some bullshit I'm telling myself. You know what's hard? Me judging what I'm writing down. That's some bullshit right there. You just need to tell yourself, I'm going to write my food down and I'm going to let the judgment come. I'm going to let all the bullshit come in. Because it would be better for you to face judgment and write your food down than you to sit there and act like you're a delicate flower that can't write. Writing's hard. Writing is not hard. Stop telling yourself that story. Because the more you keep thinking writing is hard and planning is hard, you're going to construct a lot of stories around it. Well, like, I don't really like these questions. She uses that light blue ink. That's some bullshit. I don't know why she does that. I don't even have my planner yet. I'm not going to go print. I'm not going to just write down what's on the website. All that's hard. You'll find a way to make things hard. Tell yourself the truth. I'm judging what I write down, and that's what makes it hard. So I'm not going to judge it anymore. Because if this is the shit I'm eating anyway, I might as well see it. I give myself a chance to win. Right. I gotta like pull my phone up to read what I want to see what some of you wrote. I get on a tear about this planning stuff. Here's a question. How long does it take to get the planner they're mailing out today? I would love if there was a planner PDF version that included the overeat pages. Just go and print the PDF. If all you're saying it would be easier to send to the printer, just send the printer the page that we have in there. We have the recovery worksheet. It's in there as a PDF. Just send it to them. Let's see. I'm trying to find where you guys were talking about. You know why? We don't want to mess it up. You can't mess up the plant. Guys, you need to start telling yourself, I have to be willing to mess up to lose weight. If you're not willing to mess up, you might as well quit today. Like, seriously, cash it in. Get out. I can't help you if you're not willing to make mistakes, guys. I seriously can't help. Like, I'm just going to tell you guys the God's honest truth. I cannot help you if you're not willing to make mistakes. The work is in the mistakes. There's no perfect plan that exists. I can't help you. Oprah can't help you. Dave Asprey can't help you. No one can help you until you're willing to help yourself. Helping yourself is going to be first and foremost. Not making mistakes mean anything other than the necessary step forward. You have to make mistakes, guys. You have to. You do not look at a baby and the first time they fall down, go like, you're never going to fucking walk. Screw up. Just sit down. I'm going to get you a wheelchair. That's what you guys do every single day. All the mistake is the opportunity to find something that's not working so that you can figure out what's working. There's something else I wrote down. I'm going to tell y'all this. It was so good. Let me see if I can find it. Well, I don't know where it was. I had something that I read and about mistakes and stuff that was really good, but I'll find it. I'll say it at some other live. I'm sure I will bust it out. Yeah, I don't know where it is. It's in here somewhere. But I want you guys to just think about, like, are you willing to make mistakes so you can lose weight? Because if you're not, then you're not willing to lose weight. You're willing to just stay like where you're at. That's all. You need to question yourself. Like, seriously, if I mess up my planner, what is the worst thing that's going to happen? If I don't eat on plan, but I learn the skill of planning, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? My judgment thoughts. You're already having those bullshit thoughts. So you might as well have some bullshit thoughts about yourself while you're actually doing something about it. I just realized how deeply my food choices are based on how I feel in the moment. Even with a blank check to plan whatever I want, I freeze. Yeah, you need to just tell yourself, now I'm going to plan ahead what I want. I'm done with just eating in the moment. Because you know what eating in the moment does? It allows you to start beating yourself up in the moment too. You open the door to being spontaneously throat punching yourself over and over again the next day. Every time you don't like the way you look and stuff, that is a spontaneous slap in the face because of spontaneous eating in the moment. I would just be like, I know it's going to feel hard in the moment to not eat what I want. But this is when I'm going to pre-plan the discussion I'm going to have with myself. Because most of you, what you do is you don't pre-plan that discussion. You go into it with a lot of white knuckling and discomfort. White knuckling and resistance. You go into it arguing with yourself. wanting that part to be over with, wondering when it's going to be easy and stuff, rather than talking to yourself like you love yourself. Like, this is going to be so worth it. Like, sitting here and not getting what I want right now, this is going to be so worth it. I'm so willing to sit here through this. Like, when you have that conversation, guys, it feels uncomfortable, but it's a whole different level. It drops you into a state of, we are doing this for ourselves. When you argue with it and you want the hard to go away and you just want it to be easy and stuff, you're not doing anything. You're working against yourself. You're punishing yourself. You're fighting with yourself. And you're not doing it from love. You're doing it from disgust. As if, I can't handle this. And I want you to start teaching yourself how to not give in to your desires from a place of, I love myself too much to do this anymore. I'm going to learn how to start caring about myself. And that starts with not just eating what I want when I want. It also starts with, when that conversation happens, I work with myself, not against myself. I was doing so well with my plans before Christmas. Now I have a backslide a lot. I have backslid a lot. Do I start again slowly, then level up when I think I can? Feels like retreating to old habits. No, it's not retreating to old habits. Start where you feel comfortable starting. Here's the thing. If you were doing really well before, your brain has habit memory. So start where you feel comfortable starting to get in the groove. Like, oh, now we're planning again. Your brain will remember that. It will kick and level ups pretty fast, because it will know there's sweet payoff for it. You've already taught your brain that there's good reward for that. So it won't take as long as it did the first time. You need more faith in Staples. I'm having trouble filling out the weekly plan completely. Don't get too caught up on that, Trisha. You don't have to fill it out completely if you don't want to. The weekly plan is to give you some framework, but if you want to just, we have some girls that will do like Monday through Wednesday, and then they will start Wednesday through the weekend, and that's fine. I'm looking for questions. I've been making the 24-hour plan daily, but keep trying to level it up and change it as the day goes on. Is this okay, or should I just leave it and stick to the original plan? If you're leveling up, I don't have a problem with that if it feels good. Don't do it because you think you have to. Do it because you feel like you're ready. As long as you're ready, that's the feeling I want. If we feel too overwhelmed planning for the week, should we just stick to writing the 24-hour plan now? That's perfectly fine. You can layer in the weekly plan whenever you want. We just like to teach it to you in the beginning because it's part of just like the overall framework of planning and stuff. But that's a tool you can break out later on in the process if you'd like. I want to learn and apply all the basics. This means food is almost the only thing I'm thinking about. Is that okay? Does that obsession slow with time? It does slow with time. Guys, it's not an obsession. I want you guys to stay away from thinking I'm obsessing about food and stuff. No, you're actually being conscious now. Before, you were very unconscious and obsessing. If you were doing anything, you were being very obsessive about wanting to lose weight and doing jack shit about it. Now, you're just being very conscious. You're thinking, you're going to be thinking a lot. In the beginning, you think a lot. That's kind of the point. We want to get out of not thinking about food all the time. We want to get out of the habit of being very unconscious about thinking about food and spending all of our time consciously beating ourselves up over it. Now what I want to do is teach you how to be very conscious about your food so that you can consciously celebrate your ass. That's what we really want to do. But you do. After a while, guys, you're going to get into good habits. You're going to get into understanding these things, and you're going to do great. How did you come up with the 24-hour plan starting from where you are? It's so revolutionary and awesome in a long history of dieting. You know, I don't know how I did it. It was like, and honestly, like, I remember back when I was losing weight, I would think of, like, I've always been a journaler, first of all. Like, I have been writing in a diary since I was the age of 9. It was my very first diary, and I remember the very first diary started with my weight. at 9. Seriously, guys, that's where we started. I remember the store. And it's so funny how sometimes you just have such like memorable moments in your life. It was at this little Hallmark store that was, they don't even have this, I don't even know if the strip mall still exists, but it was called Crescent Plaza in Nashville. And it was a Hallmark store, and I had a little Hello Kitty diary with a lock on it. And I loved it, and I wrote in it, and I just always wrote. So when I started losing weight, one of the things I started doing was writing. And so when I was like constructing all of this, when I went to life coach school, Brooke talked about, you know, thinking ahead and deciding ahead of time and stuff. And I just thought, God, like when I was losing weight, I was always spending time writing, and I would write what I was going to eat, and I would write what I was like thinking for the day, what I wanted to get done, and all this other kind of stuff. And it just all kind of meld. So when we talked about like, you know, what were the four basics of PNP were going to be, so this has not been this, the no BS has only been around 3 years out of the 11 of PNP. Like I really have spent a lifetime of experimenting and watching what works and what doesn't work with clients and stuff. And feel like I've really figured it out. So like when I was thinking about what are the four basics, I knew they had to be what I did. They had to be easy, and they needed like a structure. So I just took everything that I've been learning, and it came down to a 24-hour plan is the easiest way to figure it out. It's like if we're going to plan our work day, like think about work. Most of us who are successful have a list of things we're going to get done that day. And then we do the list and we're successful. We do the same thing with our food. We're successful. I also learned a lot of this when I competed. You know, when I was competing, I had a menu I followed and I just ate the menu. It just took so much negotiating out. So I kind of just took a lot of the things that I learned through all kinds of stuff that I did that worked for me, that didn't work for me, skills that I've had for a lifetime, things that that I've just seen work with clients, and that's how it all kind of planned out. Then the hunger scale I actually learned from Brooke, and the hunger scale, Kate, like she doesn't talk about it like satisfied and slightly hungry as much as I do, because I remember when I was losing weight, it was one of the things that I started planning was how to, because I knew that overeating was big for me because I was always like, I gotta be full. And I had to really consciously learn how to not want to be full and how to be okay with being satisfied. So like a lot of the concepts just are, I just shit. That's how it goes. I'm doing the four basics, but I feel like I should be exercising too, although I don't usually exercise. Is there a point in the plan that you discuss starting to exercise and not being overwhelmed with it? No. I always just say, like, if you want to start exercising, it's just like anything else. It's a level up and layer it in and start where you're at. The reason I teach the minimum basics that first week is because I always like people to start with a minimum baseline on exercise also. So my biggest tips and stuff on exercise is start with what you think you might love. If you don't love it, start trying things with an open mind. Minimum effective doses. Never get in your brain that exercising is what loses the weight. It doesn't. Your mouth is what you need to exercise, not what you do with your body. But create a relationship with exercise that you're going to love. Think about what you like exercise. I don't want you to think, what can I take from exercise? I want you to think, like, how can exercise and me live together and be happy? And when you do that, you end up becoming a lifelong exerciser and you find things that you're passionate about. So that's my best tips on that. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. It's a good one. Thank you for the amazing questions. Don't forget, next week we're going to do that hunger scale challenge. It's going to be amazing. It's always a lot of fun. It'll be a great week, too. Previewing this week, the campers are coming to town. So on Thursday and Friday, I will be with our girls. We have moved calls around this week. So if you go to the calendar over on pnptribe.com, you're going to see calls are at different times so that we can be helping you girls out and stuff. And then we will be still in the group. We'll still be doing Ask Coaches. Do not worry. We're still going to have office hours. We have 130 or 40 girls coming, but we know we have all of you still here. So we still take care of you, even though all coaches come to camp. So we have it. We have like 10 mentors so that we can love and snuggle and change the lives and yell at them a little bit of all of the campers, but we're also going to be helping you guys out. So you'll see us do some fun things. Miss Mary Jo is probably going to try to come live a couple of times so you can get a sneak peek inside of what we do at camp. And then next week, the coaches, just Kathy and Betsy are working in Nashville with me all week. We're going to work all together. And so we'll be around the tribe a lot. So that'll be fun to kind of watch y'all in real time. We never get to work together. So we're all going to work together and collaborate and come up with amazing schemes for all of you. That's at least my dream. So y'all have a good week and I will talk to you later. Bye, y'all.